Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. It is Tuesday, and that means that it is the day that Popeye gets paid for the money that he loaned to Wimpy to buy his hamburger. I will gladly repay you on Tuesday. So anyway, hamburgers were a little cheaper back in those days. I told my wife, I said, I really like this hamburger joint, but man, for the price that of that hamburger, I could go eat a steak. Glad to have you with us here today on the Refresh radio program. We're going to be diving into God's word and picking up in Acts chapter 10. We're going to start with verse number 29 today, but I do want to give you an opportunity to come out, invite you to be a part of our Fire Bible Discipleship course. It's the official launch is going to be tomorrow night. We've had a couple of lessons that we've taught just to see how things were going to go and what we needed to tweak and all of that sort of stuff. The official launch is tomorrow night. God had spoken something to me. I do value the word very highly. That's what we try and base everything that we do on. In the 29 and a half years of pastoring, we've always looked to be spiritually fruitful. And what God had spoken to me, he said, if you get people grounded in the word and grounded in their relationship where they're abiding in me, the fruit will naturally, or it will naturally come, it will become supernaturally natural. And so that is what we are doing. There are a lot of things that fly under the banner of Christianity. There are some denominations out there that label themselves Christian, but yet much of their theology is not based on the Word of God at all. They don't even pretend that it is based on the Word of God. And so we like to be able to give a reason for what we believe, instant in season and out of season. And so we are looking to make disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. And so that's what our purpose is. That's going to start tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And then our youth service will be taking place after that as well. So let's dive into Acts chapter 10 today. Going to begin reading at verse number 24. We'll read on down to verse number 33 and pick up where we left off, and that would be at verse number 29. It said, in the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him, but Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God. So today I want to focus on Peter. When Peter showed up at the door, he began to communicate to Cornelius what his mindset was at that particular point in time, how he came to be in Cornelius' house. The first thing that he says is, because God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean, therefore I came without objection. Okay, and so the first thing that I want to talk to you today is about attitude. I want to talk to you specifically about what is your attitude when you come to church. Now, let me maybe make that statement a little bit. What is your attitude towards church and towards your attending? So here in the past couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, I had been praying, and God had spoken to me about how little value people were acknowledging in the house of God coming together. I saw a quote recently. There were two pastors that were talking, and the first pastor said, "Look, my church is too close to the beach, and so people choose to go to the beach instead of coming to church." And the other pastor said, "Well, our church is not close enough to God for people to choose not to go to the beach." And we need to make sure that when we come to the house of God, that we're expecting to meet the God of the house. Okay. And so what God had spoken to me was this statement: how can people have an expectation, an attitude about going to heaven? There's a mindset that, you know, we're all going to heaven. It's not biblical, but, you know, there are people who are going to heaven. They're the forgiven and the forgiving. They are the redeemed of the Lord. They are those who have acknowledged their sins, confessed them to the Lord, and asked him to forgive them and to be the Lord of their life and empower them to live the life that God wants them to live. But we need to acknowledge in our time, we need to acknowledge with our finances, that the house of God has value. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Listen, I'm telling you, with the trajectory that the world is on, it is going to be more important than ever before for believers to know who the believers are, because with greater frequency and greater intensity, there's persecution that is starting to arise against the church. I saw a headline the other day, it wasn't that long ago, where there were people wanting to know why the church was not aligning their message with the culture of the church. And let me rephrase that. The people were calling out the church wanting to know why they did not align their message with the culture of the world. There, I said it correctly that time. They expect that the church is going to be a propaganda machine for the message of culture. We are not a propaganda machine for the world system. We are ambassadors for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our message is to preach Jesus Christ, virgin born, sinless life, crucified, buried, and resurrected the third day, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. That is our message. The message needs to be Christ-centered. And you say, well, why would you feel bad? Look, I'm not trying to please people. My job is to please God. People are not going to be the ones that determine whether the pearly gates throw open wide or not. I want God to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," rather than men to say, "I don't want my reward down here. I want my reward in heaven. So Peter said, I came without objection. We need to have acknowledge the value of the word of God saying that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That's straight up Bible. So here the other day I was resting. It was a Sunday afternoon, and you know, I've shared with you here, God has been really speaking correction into my life and making sure that I honor the Lord and get the rest that I need. You know, if I will honor God with my time, he will make my time more productive. And so my wife had been out of town. She was coming back that afternoon, and I was resting, and there was something that needed to be done. There was a, and I could have squeezed it in. I honestly could have. I could have done everything that needed to be done and got it completed before she got home. She had grandmother duty. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I am going to honor the Lord. I'm going to honor this day, and I'm going to rest my body so that I can accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. And that's what I did. And it was a wonderful afternoon, and I think that there was wisdom in that. You know, when I get to heaven, the rewards are not going to be for the menial temporal tasks that we did or didn't do here on earth. They're going to be, what did you do in accordance with the word of God? What did your faith prompt you to do? So Peter said, look, I came here and I didn't object. Even though my culture says that I shouldn't be here, God has told me that I should be here. There is a clash of cultures that is going on. There is a clash of culture from the world system, and it is constantly waging war against the kingdom of God and how the kingdom is supposed to operate. Now, that doesn't mean that the church should be sloppy. It shouldn't mean that we are lazy in our approach. Listen, Daniel served in the government with a spirit of excellence, but while serving in the government, he did not sacrifice his faith on the altar of cultural relevance. Instead, he said, I'm here, I'm going to serve, I'm going to serve with excellence, but I'm going to serve with excellence because of my faith, not by replacing my faith. And so one of the things I felt prompted to share with our church recently is when we are living our life and serving and being a blessing the way that God wants us to be, then we can rest assured that the same God that protected Daniel in the den of lions will protect you. The things that we do, we must do in faith, we must do in love, and we must live those things. Those are things. So Peter said, I'm here because I came without objections. My mindset has me here because God wants me here. God wants me here. And so I want to ask you, when was the last time you made a decision, not because a job paid better, not because it was more convenient, but your primary consideration was that your steps were ordered by the Lord for the glory of the Lord? So we are talking here in Acts chapter 10 about a spiritual truth that is going to radically transform the mission and the ministry of the church. And it all began with one man who lived life the way that to the best of his ability, to honor God. And God said, what you've done is great. I'm setting you up for revelation that is going to cause you to be even more successful. He ministered on the other end to Peter and said, I want you to be, to obey me beyond your understanding. Obey me because you trust me. Obey me because I know what I'm doing. And so Peter said, even though by my culture, my tradition, I shouldn't be here, I've come here without objecting to what God has told me to do. You know, in a court, there are things that happen, and sometimes one side will object to the legal actions of the other attorney. And so they will object. And at that point in time, the judge either overrules the objection or sustains the objection. But one thing is for sure, when the judge rules, then the other party is going to be held to account. You know, they've got to change in order to align with the ruling. And Peter said, look, I've not objected. God said he wants me here. I didn't object, so I'm going to act in response to what God has said. The next thing that it says here in verse number 24 is, therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. As soon as I was sent for. So I want to talk about timing just a moment. You can do the right thing at the right time, and you will get the right result. You can do the right thing at the wrong time, and you will not get right results. You can do the wrong thing at the right time, and you're still going to get wrong results. And you can do the wrong thing at the wrong time, and you will always get wrong results there. So in order for us to be successful, we need to be very sensitive to the timing of what God wants us to do. So David was in a battle with the Philistines on multiple occasions, and on this one particular occasion, he said, look, this is where I want you to attack the enemy from, and the indication that the time has come is going to be when you hear the sound of the wind moving in the trees. Don't do it beforehand. Don't do it until after. You know, at the walls of Jericho, God could have caused those walls to collapse on the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, but he waited until the seventh day. He could have caused it to take place the first trip around, the second trip around, the third. He waited until it was the right time. And then when the people responded in accordance to what he had said, and it was the right time, then all of a sudden the fortified stronghold of the enemy collapsed, and the children of Israel were able to walk right in and achieve the victory that God had made possible for them. Peter said, I came as soon as I was sent for. So I want to encourage you not to do like I did when I was in high school. Do not be a procrastinator where you put things off. You know, the theme of the Procrastinators Association was procrastinators of the world unite tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. So when I was in high school, I was coming up on the end of, I believe it was my senior year, and it was a biology class. My daughter majored in biology. I passed biology. I got an A in the class, but it was certainly not anything that I felt any sort of calling into at all. And I you know, got down to the end of the year, and I told my teacher, I said, Look, I stayed up all night long doing the homework for this class, and she was really impressed. I said, yeah, I'd fallen behind on so many assignments that I really had to push myself. And she said, look, I'm not going to commend procrastination. You know, now I'm not saying that you eliminate preparation. Procrastination says, look, I know I should do that, but I'm just going to neglect that for a little while longer. God is a God of precise timing. And he's got a perfect time clock for your life and my life. The problem is we don't understand the way that God's clock works. Why was it that there was, you know, several days of delay from Cornelius getting the message until Peter getting there? Well, it gave Cornelius the opportunity to gather his family and his closest friends together so that they could hear as well. What did it allow God? It allowed God to speak into Peter's life so that before those people got there, God was already preparing Peter. One of the greatest challenges that I've had when I was growing up, and, you know, generationally speaking, some of my kids has, is God, why is it taking so long? At one point in time, I was called into ministry. I was serving in the local church. I'd been to Bible college, and I was selling shoes. The reason I was selling shoes is I couldn't find a church outside of my home church that would respond to any of my resumes. At one point in time, I sent out 200 resumes across the country. I applied for a church that was like 15 or 20 miles south of the Canadian border in North Dakota. You want to know an honest confession? There's a place that I don't want to serve. It's just a few miles south of the Canadian border in North Dakota. But I had said, God, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, then that's where I'm willing to go. And God arranged some things. He shifted things. There were transitions and growing cycles and preparation. And it was about 7 years where God was developing me, growing me, and preparing me for the exact time that I needed before I was able to become the pastor of Merit Assembly of God. The timing issue is something that we really shouldn't be questioning God about, because we know that he does all things well. He begins things, he finishes things. And so I want to encourage you, continue to serve faithfully. Peter said, look, I came without objection, and I came without hesitation. I came as soon as I was called. Okay? And then he asked this question. I got about 4.5 minutes here. He said, I ask then, for what reason have you sent for me? When you go to church this Sunday, I want you to ask this question. Why am I here? Why am I here? Because there's a purpose for your life. Your purpose is not just to park your backside in a chair. Your purpose has kingdom purpose. Okay? Now, it may be that your ministry is taking place outside of the four walls of the church, but that doesn't exclude you from needing to attend church, because God wants to speak to you, equip you, and surround you with people and relationships where you will be able to serve with anointing and power and wisdom in your ministry. You know, whether it's to coworkers or neighbors or whatever, but you need that time in the house of God. You have kingdom purpose. So ask yourself, why am I here? I can tell you why I'm at Merit Assembly of God. Being able to answer the why removes the temptations whenever discouragement arises. Okay? I know that I have purpose, and so I have to make sure that nothing distracts me from that purpose. There's one more question that I want to ask you to consider, and that is this: why are you here? The first question is, why am I here? The next question is, why are you here? He said to Cornelius, why have you sent for me? Why did you send for me? I can tell you why I'm here. God has shown me that I should treat people with respect and recognize the value in them. I came without objection. I came without hesitation. But in order for me to continue on as to the why I'm here, I need to know, why have you sent for me? Why are you here? The Bible says that in the last days that people are going to demand that people communicate, that the speakers, the preachers, communicate to them what their itching ears want to know. I did a questionnaire several years ago. It was in January or December. I don't remember exactly which one. And I asked the people this question. There were two questions. What is your greatest need? And I think the other one was, what do you feel like God would have you learn about in this year? Two questions, very similar, but quite different. You know, one is, what is God speaking to you and challenging you and preparing you for? The other one is, what is your greatest need? And I did that. I asked that question, not because I'd ever done it before, not because somebody told me to, but because God said, you need to find out, what is it that they have need in their life for? At the end of the program here, you're going to hear about our email address. You're going to hear our phone number. You can communicate with us via email, through the website, or any of that sort of stuff. And you can tell us, this is what I need to hear, and maybe you're not hearing it at your church, and we can address those topics here. You know what? The greatest spiritual gift, Paul said, I'm going to show you the most excellent spiritual gift. The most excellent gift is the one that you need at that exact point in time. I know why I'm here. I hope that you know why you're here. And together, we're going to see the kingdom of God grow. We'll see you tomorrow. Right,
thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we can.